Very nice. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. From one simcha to the next. Okay, Rabbi Sai, it's late. I'm sorry. I always come late. My apologies. One day, I have to do tshuva one day. Yeah, I wonder when. I wonder when, right? Page 556. We learned yesterday, we did the Mitzvah Rashi, we were in the middle of the Radak. The Mitzvah, we read the part of Pesukim very quickly. Yiskar Adirav. Yesterday, many perushim is what this means. I'll just loosely translate according to one. That Sancheref will appoint generals and soldiers and people to lead the battle against Nebuchadnezzar. Yikashlu b'halichasam, like most of the farshim, but they will fail. Now we're shifting to describe their failure. It's one perush. They will stumble as they travel forward. They will stumble. They will then retreat. Yemaharu chaymasa. They will retreat lichaymasa. They'll back to their walled city. Vehuchan haseichech, and they will seek shelter. Okay, the very loose translation. Shavre hanahoros niftachu. It's not going to help. The enemy will break open the gates to the city, specifically the gates that are along the side of the city, which is opposite a river. They will enter, they will attack, and they will destroy the palace. The queen, Gulasa, she will go into exile. She will ascend, she will lift herself up from the city, from her home, and escape the city for safety. Her servants, her maidservants, Menahagois, will wail, will make loud sounds of mourning, like the sound of a yoina. They will pound on their hearts in pain and tsar as they leave. This is very relevant for the Megillah coming up Purim, because we know that Esther Hamalka had also maidservants. Chazal, they tell us a lot about these maidservants, that every single day she had a different servant, so no one should figure out that she was Jewish. Because if she had a servant, it's a very interesting idea that if you have someone who follows you around for 7 days, they pick up that there's one day that's special. Everything is geared towards that day. So the trick, in order that no one should know that you're Jewish, is every single day of the week you have a different servant. So no one's able to, in order to get a sense of Shabbos, you have to see the big picture. And the big picture is 7 days. Okay, then it says, okay, these are the three psukim, so we did the Mitzudos, we did the Rashi, we did most of the Radak. Let's continue in the Radak where we left off. We are up to Pasik Zayin in the Radak, page 557. Sha'arei Hanahoros Niftachu, Sha'arei Hamadina Yotzim Lanahoros Niftachu, Sheshavru Anshe Achayil Hadalosites. They opened up the doors. He says the palace was near this gate. The palace melted. What does it mean, melted? It's a borrowed term. Due to the intensity of the thunder, the noise. The blows, the banging, the explosions. Shehiku b'ashorim. You understand? Take him. Gishrei nahar v'asa. Now we're coming to. We didn't do this targum.
So what did you say? Mahalumos means.
He says the banging or the confusion. It means an expression of chaos, in the intensity of the chaos, which includes many things, includes explosions, includes looting, includes just confusion. Okay, and the chaos of the moment is where it's melted. And maybe you'll
like
tell
you said,
me
when somebody has a meltdown.
Is this a physical meltdown, or maybe it means that it was a mental? It means it was a psychological meltdown. All of the people who served, who worked in the palace, they melted. They were terrified. They fled. Is it what? How do you describe? Understand the word namoig? A physical meltdown or a spiritual meltdown? Exactly. The mogu there means they mentally they had a psychological meltdown. So likely, maybe that's really what it means over here, but it's not the way we learned yesterday. Yesterday, most of the commentators, they took the word namoig and they translated it as something physical. They were explosions, the ballistics. The ballistics and all these things which were going on caused the city, the palace, to be destroyed. Okay, in any event, we have over here a very important Targum. Targum will be quotes over here on the side. Vienna Santir Game Gishrei Nahar Vasa Is Bisaku Umalka, and the king Behichle Za was terrified. He learns the word, the previous word, the Shareha Nahar is Niftahu, not meaning the gates. Very unusual translation. It means the bridges, the Gesher. Okay, the Gesher of the rivers were open. Now he translates the word. Let's just go one more time. The word Gishrei Nahar Vasa Is Pisaku Ifsek, which means to come to an end. He tied Niftachu means to open. I'm not sure how the word open in the Targum translates into Is Pisaku. Is Pisaku, maybe I'm not translating correctly. Came to an end. A Hefsek.
Maybe a Hefsek. Describing a moat. And a bridge across a moat.
And what does it mean to say? It means that they stopped, the bridge was destroyed, so the king could not escape. Mm-hmm. The king was locked inside, and that's why it says now, Vahahechol Noboig, the people inside of the palace could not escape. And they were terrified because they knew the enemy would now, they would attack. They would be able to come over the bridge, but not him. But that's very unusual to translate the word niftachu, which simply means was opened. And here he's translating, it means that it was a hefsek. You were unable to cross the bridge. And since when did we ever translate the word a gate as a bridge? A bridge. So these are very unusual translations, giving us new insight into what exactly in Chazal's understanding. Yeah?
That's what happened in Panama. In Panama, yeah. You can see there's a gate, kind of open the gate like this.
The locks.
People go through.
Panama Canal.
Panama Canal. So
that's
so
the, exactly what he means.
Niftachu. Niftachu.
I saw it. It's amazing.
Wow.
So you see how the gate is open and the ship goes through.
And the ship goes through. So it's like a bridge. Basically saying, but what do you mean niftachu? Okay, something very sophisticated, obviously.
What about the bridge or fortifications? There are fortifications at the front of a bridge, and those fortifications were opened up.
Okay, I don't know. Obviously, you got to see it to understand. The picture is worth 1,000 words. Okay, but obviously, the Targum is understanding this on a different level, understanding this with much more details. And, interestingly, every Nevuah, we always say that every Nevuah, the fact that it's recorded, is for us. Which means he's not just speaking about what happened then. History repeats itself, or certainly, I don't say history, but Nevuah is relevant for today. He's describing a repeat of these events in some cosmic, in some greater way that will lead to Mashiach. And as you say, that the Panama Canal, a lot of the economy depends upon passage of cargo, shipping, and who controls the waterways, international waters. There are a lot of very complex things out there in this world, and there are dams, and all of these things have major, major significance. And if we were to see, as Rav Kalman said, he saw it, the Panama Canal, and when you see that and you read this pasuk, you fully understand what it means, the gates of the river. Here it says, Niftachu, were opened. What that means, maybe, you see, the Targum says was open, meaning Is Pisaka, which in my vocabulary means it came to a posa. It was closed. Niftachu, it's open. I don't know what he means, but there obviously is something very deep going on over here. We'll leave with that. Let's go further. Pasuk Ches, Behutza Golsa Ho'ala, Hahechol Shehutzav. Shehutzav b'shalva yomim rabim b'ninve ato now namog. Now look at this is the first time, the first parish that says the word v'hutzav does not mean the queen. everyone until now has told us it means the queen. He says no, Vehutzav means the city of Nineveh that has been established from time immemorial and was understood, was they believed that it was invincible, it would be around forever and ever. Who could possibly imagine that such a city no longer exists? Vehutzav Golos Ohalof. It was b'shalva yamim rabim b'ninve ato namor b'gulos ninve shoysa mechusa arato ninve that was covered until now shaloi ovar bozor, it was protected, there were borders, no one can get inside, now anyone can walk inside. Vilcho alosa kimo nichrisa, new translation, the word vilcho alosa, as we have until now have translated this word to this word until now to ascend, to leave, to escape. He translates it to, it was destroyed. Another word to add to your vocabulary for destruction. There are so many words in Tanakh. I think that's probably the most. The concept of destruction has the most synonyms in Tanakh. If you take out a Hebrew thesaurus, a biblical Hebrew thesaurus, and look up the concept of destruction, you will find the longest list. There is Krisa, Shavira, Ritzitza, Ru'uah. Here's another word he says, Ho'ala. The list goes on and on and on. It's a very amazing thing how many different words there are to describe destruction. Building, binyan, aren't too many words. It's a lot harder to build than it is to destroy. I go to a shir mitzvah Shabbos, and the nature of the shir, it used to be very respectful, now it will turn a little nasty. But the shir originally was established with a set of rules. And the set of rules were, you come to give the shir, you're told in advance, you will be under attack. It was a sport. Gladiators. Exactly. It was a sport. Yeah. Survival, it used to be. Days. This goes back 20 years ago. That was the rule. This is before the days of, you know, everyone's been recorded, politically correct. You got to watch out. Someone's watching you. They're recording you and they're going to post it online. It was a different world. Most of those people passed away. Most of the people that were, you know, the participants and the shir that were the warriors have passed away. It's very sad. And
what's the shir
on? Daf Yomi. So what was the shir? And they had Rabbi Kaplowitz, Rabbi Wallerstein. He was the founder. Rabbi Kaplowitz. He was the one that he still does it. He's the one that do all the work to invite the Russian yeshiva. You see every I don't know if you see the signs so much anymore in the Ated. If you get the Ated, if you see the Ated, it's like the second or third page. There's always an advertisement on the bottom for this shir mitzvah Shabbos, and it used to be that it would bring down really the biggest Russian yeshiva. In the local area, would come, would say a shir, and there was a couple of fellows that would listen very carefully, and would fight, would speak up and argue with intensity, but respectfully. It was a very interesting balance of respect and melchamto shel Torah, All right, then they passed away. These people passed away, and the people that the newcomers, you know, then it just turned into a shir where, you know, the shiva would come and would say the shir, and everyone would just listen politely. Okay, but lately, there's certain people that started arguing once again, but they don't have the derech eretz that the old timers have. So got a little nasty. But what am I trying to say over here? So there was one fellow there. I once was asked to speak because he had literally no one else. Since when?
Years ago, right?
No, recently, whatever. And when this person, he attacked me with such an intensity during the shir and after the shir. And then I'm friendly with him a little bit. And then I said to him, now you have to give a shir. Now it's time. The time has come for you to get a taste of your own medicine. So he says to me, without a blink of an eye, he says to me, it's a lot easier to destroy than to build. And he basically said, he confessed, I only know how to do one thing, demolition. I don't know how to do construction. It is an old, very nasty joke, but it's a bitter gelechta. I told him this too many times, it's a bitter gelechta, but a person, he learns his entire life. He learns his entire life from Kollel, doesn't work a day in his life, comes to Shammai Machamev Esrim, and he comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Hashem, no, you learned your whole life, no. Let me test you on Kol HaTorah Kula. You learned your whole life, right? Kol HaTorah Kula. No. Don't test me on Kol HaTorah Kula. So Hashem says, okay, Shas. No. I don't learn the whole Shas. Okay, one Seder. No, it goes down. A Masechta. No, a Perek. No. But I just learned the Yeshivish of Masechta. I learned the Ian. I learned the first five daf of the Masechta. Okay, so I'll test you on the first five daf of a Masechta. Pick a Masechta. No. One daf, it gets worse and worse. So Hashem, okay, I'll tell you what. Say over to me a shtickel Torah. In order to get into Gan Eden, you spent your whole life learning Torah. To Gan Seleb, you didn't work one day. Say over a shtickel Torah so I can let you into Gan Eden. So the guy says, no, I can't even do that. But I'll tell you what, Ribbono Shel Olam, I have an idea. You say a shtickel Torah, and I'll slug it up. So this is what you've accomplished your whole life. Your whole life, what you've accomplished is you're good at slugging up someone else's chidushim.
It's easy to criticize.
It's a reality. You said it to me like just the words. Asked. The words came out of his mouth faster than I could blink. He says to me, I say, now you're gonna say issues. Says, it's easier to destroy. I only know how to destroy. I don't know how to build. He confessed, I don't know how to build. Okay, there's a koyach in buildings. And over here, and this struck me because here it says Gulasa Ho Alasa. And along comes to the Radak. And we don't have enough words in the biblical Hebrew dictionary to describe destruction. You have like the list goes on and on. Every other pasuk, there's another word that describes another dimension to Churban. Building? There aren't too many words for building. Very, very few words to describe how to do construction. And here, the Radak is not satisfied with the list, and he says, oh, guess what? I have a new word to add to the list. A new word, another dimension. Vilho alos, the kumo koloimar, nichrisa, to cut down. Kumo kaalois godish biito, like the godish is cut down in its right time. That means a harvest, but here we're using it as a way to describe destruction. The Hutzav, the city that was established from time immemorial, Gulisa, its inhabitants have gone into exile, Ho'alosa, and now has been cut down. New translation, not like what we learned yesterday. Next words of the Radak on the next page, 559, the Amhoiseha, and her maidservants, Amhois Ninve. According to this interpretation, does not mean the maidservants of the queen, because we're not describing the queen. It's describing the city. It means the government officials, all of the politicians, all of those people who they name bridges for. I always wonder why, you know, one of the things of being a politician, if you're good, you get an airport named after you, or a bridge, or a road. Okay, why do these people deserve to have, they should have a brewery? I never understood the drive in the heart. Jackie Robinson, at least he was a baseball player, okay? At least he was a baseball player. Every airport, Ruba, the roads and the bridges and the airports and schools are named after politicians. What? Why them? What did they do to deserve to get such honor? So here when it says V'amoyseha, it means her maidservants, the government officials. There must be statistics telling you how many, all the bridges and these type of things, how many politicians get a crack at it. Amois Ninve, V'hein Hasarais Hagadilois Kiraon Amois Shayelchu. These are the Sarais, the princes. Sarais Hagadilois, the Sarais Hagadilois Kiraon Amois Shayelchu Kishvachois. They are the great the princes. They're called Amois. They will now be humiliated. Until now, they had all of this, you know, special protection. They had a police escort wherever they go. They had bodyguards. But now they're going to go keshvacha ispagah. They're going to go like maidservants into exile. Minna hagoyis isha elachoisa. So here we have an unusual word, minna hagoyis. I guess that means they're going to cry. They're going to make noise one to each other. They will complain and mourn one to each other. Because of the loss of honor. Now it goes back to what we learned yesterday. Hutzav means the queen. Because she sat near the king. The queen sits next to on your right side. V'hanogid Rav Shmuel. Fine, that's one shot. That's the Targum. So far he has his father's interpretation, the Targum Yonason, and now he quotes the Hanogid Rav Shmuel. Who is the prince Rav Shmuel?
Shmuel Hanogid.
Shmuel Hanogid. The time was a Rishon?
No, he was in Spain.
Yeah.
Back in Sechta Brachas, he has a introduction after learning Gemara.
So he was obviously a Rishon because the Radak was a Rishon, right? So he's a Rishon. The Hanogid Rav Shmuel, Perash, Kishem Hamalka Chutzav Gulasa Shahisa Nisteres Becheder Kiminik Hamalka VeHanoshim HaNechbadais Kemosha Amar Kol Kivuda Bas Melech Penimba. That's a very incredible thing over here because we associate this concept of Tzinius with a Jewess. A woman, kol bnei Yisrael malachim. So we apply this is the most famous chazal. There's not a Beis Yaakov girl that has not heard this expression only 1,000 times. Kol kivuda bas melech penima. Every Jewish girl is a bas melech, and the dignity, the honor is penima, is on the inside. This is the hallmark, the foundation of the principle of tzinius, not just tzinius in dress, tzinius in midos. Now it applies, of course, to men also, but you would not expect to apply this principle to the secular world. Okay, the world is obsessed with William and Kate and Harry. And what's that word?
Megan.
The world is literally obsessed. Every step they take, every piece of clothing they wear, their websites, whatever they're wearing, you can buy the same thing. Whenever they make a public, you see them walking, anytime they appear in public, so immediately they analyze every item of clothing they're wearing, and they right away find where you can buy exactly that, how much it cost, and the websites. Click on my link. Affiliate link, I get a commission. There are websites like this. I once heard about that. Soap operas. Go watch a soap opera, go watch any television show. They right away immediately show where you can buy exactly that item of clothing.
Wow.
They should do the same thing for weddings today. Jewish weddings. I just said something very nasty, everybody. So you don't even appreciate what I just said. You don't have any clue what I just said. But so here it says, very, very bizarre what he says here. Very bizarre what it says over here that this principle called Kavuda Bas Melech Penima is referring over here to the queen of Nineveh. The queen of Nineveh had in the palace, she had privacy. And now, Gulus one more time. It's the second wide line on page 559. Shaisa nisteres b'chede kemin chamalka v'hanashim menachvados k'moshe amar kol gulus b'chede b'viata gulus v'yasa b'chadara. She's now has to leave her chamber. V'ho alosa al hamerkava lohelicha v'agoyle into exile. Okay, this pretty much is what we learned in the Mitzudos and in Rashi. V'amoisera minahagoyis oisa u'minahamois they wail. The kolkino here, when it says v'amoisecha, if the subject is the queen, so it refers to her maidservants, they are mourning. Kikol yonim misayfefeis, k'mosh oda makeh misayf, like a person, he hits a drum, kein heimakos al livehen, k'derech hanashim hanohoitz v'hamakoinos, like women who bang on their chests. Okay, so that concludes the Radak. Now we're going to see the Malbim. Malbim back on page 5, 5, 6. We now start a new parish. Yizkar Adi Rav. I'm sorry, 5, 5, 7. 5, 5, 7. 5, 5, 7. Now we're going to learn the Gechi Ziyon Lahamalbim. And Yizkar Adi Rav. Chutz Mizeh Zecher Hadidim Shuma HaMachaneh Shaholchu LeEzra Seymin. I don't know what that is, the name of the place. Shalem Samach LeNatzech Esayev. Now remember, he learns Sandan.
It's called Bactria.
We know where it is today?
Obviously, it's in that region, but.
So we're now learning, we have to remember that the Malbim, all of the commentators, he says this was a very specific historical event. And the king at that time was Sardanapal. Sardanapal, it's an historical account of exactly what happened. We know from the history books exactly play by play what happened when Nineveh was destroyed. And he refers to these sources, these historical sources, and he reads that into the Pasuk. And he tells us here that who were the Adirim? There was the Machne, Shaholchu LeEzra Soy, Shalem Subach LeNasech Zev. So it seems like these were mercenaries. According to what we learned until now, Yizkar Adirav, whether we want to translate the word as appointment or it means his own soldiers, these were people who were trained, who were being paid by the government. Nineveh has its own army, has its own police force. From the Malbim, if he says that we're referring over here to an historical account, it does not appear to mean that these Gibarim were his own people. These were his allies. His allies decided to help, to intervene, enter into the battle, and help out. He meant the Machne Shaholchu LeEzra Soy. Okay, another nation who decided to come help him out, and he relied upon them to succeed. Aval Yikashlu B'Halichasam Ve'es Lechtam Nichshalu B'Derech. When they came, they traveled to his assistance, they stumbled. In other words, they stumbled through the machshilim that caused you to stumble. They persuaded them not to help. They stumbled. Kol Gibori Chelo's army. Like he explained, I don't know who he's referring to, maybe in the beginning of this parak, in other words, like a Saradanapal. So it seems over here that the ally turned into an enemy.
Right.
There were people on the fence. You had it all the time in these wars. You had very, very, they flip-flopped the whole nation.
Yeah.
There was an issue, and nations are joining in. They're joining in an alliance to go to war against a common enemy, and there's an expectation that a certain nation will join you in the battle. And not only do they decide not to join you, to your surprise, they decide to join your enemy and fight against you. Okay, there are some similar stories. There are World War II, there are a lot of stories like this. I'm not fluent in history to cite you examples with names and dates, but there are many, many stories like this where nations, they come together, and they're very disappointed that those they think will be to their assistance, they actually, not only do they do not join you, they abstain, they actually are your enemy. Yeah, this, like, I remember I once saw this in a shul where there was a very, very big debate over a certain issue. It was a very important issue, and it was a heated debate, and it was going to be a vote. And the people were counting every single vote of the board and the members. I remember this took place many years ago. And they laid out the cheshbon, and the vote did not go according to plan. I mean, the vote was taken, and the idea was they lost. And the person who was, you know, working on one side was scratching his head. Impossible. How could this have happened? They had every vote counted. They knew every single vote. They thought they understood every single thing. And the end was, there were two people who they thought for sure were going to vote in favor. Mm-hmm. Not only did they not abstain, they voted the opposite. Mm-hmm. So it was a shock that these two people who you thought were on your side were going to support the issue, they decided the opposite. That's exactly what he's saying happened over here. That's what you learned Pshat in the Pasuk. And it's very, it makes much more sense. It helps out Pshat in the Pasuk. Because it says here, Yizkor Adirov, Sardanapal, he has confidence that this nation will come to his assistance, and they start coming. But yet, as they begin to travel from far away to his assistance, the enemy intervenes and persuades them, not only should you not come to their assistance, you should help us defeat them. Yikoshalu, they stumble Bahali Chasam due to the influence of the enemy. Because until now, the other commentators are struggling. What does it mean, Yikoshalu Bahali Chasam? What does that mean exactly? And they learned, the Rashi and the Mitsudo said, we begin now to describe defeat. The only part of the offensive are the first two words, Yizkor Adirov, period, over, chapter break. Now, guess what? Your strong, mighty men are not so strong after all. As your army, the army of Nineveh, begins to attack, Yikoshlu, they stumble as they travel to the battlefield. Or as the Radak said in the Lulun yesterday, Yikoshlu Bali Chasam, is that they're running so quickly, they're on the offensive. As they're running, they're trying so hard to get to their destination, friendly fire almost. Yikoshlu, they stumble. There's something a little missing over here. He's learning this very interesting shot. Yikoshlu Bali Chasam, we're not referring to the soldiers, the army of the country. We are describing the army of a different country, of an ally that's coming from far, far away to your assistance. And as they come, all of a sudden, they betray you. Not only do they betray by not coming to your assistance, they switch sides and they join the enemy. And he says this is an historical fact. He is quoting from history, from history books, and that is as to exactly what happened. You know that we learn a lot about this. More than, there's no question, more than anywhere else, is the Haftarah of Parshas B'Shalach. If you read the Haftarah, you learn the Haftarah of Shiras Devoira. So, there, Devoira, she made a campaign to recruit everyone, the whole Klal Yisrael, to assist her in fighting this war against Sisera. Sisera, who is the general of the Melech Yavin. Yavin Melechotzar, who is General Sisera? He was the general. And so it says during the Pesukim, go through Kimat, most of the Shevatim, the Shifta Yisrael. This one went, this one also went, and some Shevatim, they did nothing. They just sat on the sidelines. And some of them, if you read the Mefarshim, she says, I give you a pass because you got your own problems. You're on the border, and if you're going to go to war with us, then the border where you are will be the enemy will take advantage, they will penetrate. And then she talks a few times about Reuven. Mefalgois Reuven Gidoilim Chikakei Lev. She says that twice, maybe even three times. Shevet Reuven, I will never ever understand why you did not come to battle. Gedolim is very great. The chigakei means the thoughts or the ideas.
The innermost
thoughts of your heart. Why did you betray Klal Yisrael and not join us on the battlefield? Lepaul goyis Reuven. Paul means Peleg. Peleg. I don't know why they call that party Peleg. I don't know for the life of me why they call that. You know, there are certain things they always write about, like mysteries of why you call an organization by a certain name. I remember when there was an organization called ADA. Many, many years ago, there was one called ADA. ADA was a very controversial organization. Yes. So I know someone used to make litzanis. Admosai lo ADA horo hazois.
Korach also had an
Ada. Right, so people they're very unhappy with, many from the right wing were very, very disturbed with this group. And they would make, what kind of crazy name is that? You're just opening yourself up for criticism. Lamosai Ho'edah Harazois. Okay, there's an organization, there's a political group in Israel called Peleg. And Peleg is a very, very controversial, whatever. I don't understand why they call it Peleg. That's not a good name. It's not a positive term in Tanakh.
No.
It's not. So why would you call your party? They're Gedolei Yisrael, they're behind it. I'm not Chashav who might enter into this arena. But why in the world would they call it Peleg? It's not, all right, that's also whatever it is. But in any event, this is a very powerful pasuk where anytime you want to focus on betrayal amongst Klal Yisrael, that's where you go. You go to Shiras Devorah and you read the Psukim, Lefalgo Yisruvein Gidolim Chikeleif. There was a place called Meiroz. Auror Meiroz. Now, what is Meiroz? No one seems to know what Meiroz is. And it was, she cursed them. Auror Meiroz, you did not come. See, Reuben wasn't cursed, Chas v'Shalom. But it was just, we're very disappointed. Meiroz was cursed. And because of the curse, they ceased to exist. You're not going to like this. I heard Radolsky say this. Look in anything that the Radak, I think the Radak alludes to this. Is that Meiroz, again, study this, and you have to study the sources, is she summoned the aliens on Mars from outer space. Meiroz is the one of the seven, Shiva Koichle Leches. One of them is, whatever this is look at the Radak on that Pasuk. Alien creatures from other worlds were asked to come participate in this battle, and they didn't come. So you know what? They were cursed. And that's where you'll never, ever find life on Meiroz. And what in the world does that mean? Beats me. I'm not saying nothing. Illegal aliens, what? Yeah, they're in the Radak. I don't know Mars. In the Mefarshim there, as you can imagine, when she summoned people or to help her in the battle, you can appreciate that it wasn't just a physical battle. It was a spiritual battle. We all know that. When the Moshe raised up his hands, Klal Yisrael prevailed. Okay, it's not like today. There was a spiritual element to the battle. So when it says that she summoned, look at the Mefarshim, it's a very, very long, complex description of her appeal to the world, to Klal Yisrael and to the world to help her in this battle. We just read the story and big deal, another fight. It sounds like to us a schoolyard fight. That's how we read this battle. Oh yeah, Shiras Devorah. Sounds like in the schoolyard. There were a couple of kids fighting, and the school teacher comes down, okay, it's it, go back to class. I think that's the way I look at it, right? Like we have no appreciation of what was going on. There was Sisera and Yovin, nine chariots, this, that. Yeah, it's a nice story. Doesn't have any impact. This was a world war. This was a world, the whole world was turned over. And when you're making an alliance, you're getting ready for battle, whose side are you on? There are major, major things going on here. And she summoned not just all of the physical, all of the people in Klal Yisrael, she summoned other nations to help Klal Yisrael. She summoned Malachim and Shemayim, spiritual forces to come. There's a lot going on. And the more you dig deep, you read the Mefarshim, what was going on there, the whole world, some of them start talking about forms of life that we've never seen before. They were asked to come from other parts of this world. Sounds like some science fiction conspiracy theories over here. They're aliens, UFOs. I'm not saying that. I don't know what these things are, but if you look at those before the psukim over there, you'll see stuff there that's really different than what we're used to actually seeing. And there, some did come, some did not come. And that is a great, great source of material to understand the depth of what it means to betray and to be loyal to your own, to someone. life.
She was Eshet Lapidos.
She was a fire woman. We learned last night. What does it mean, Eshet Lapidos? The Mitzudos David says a fiery woman. Rashi doesn't like that. Rashi didn't want to go. He didn't want to get in trouble with the Haredi police of the 21st century. So Rashi said it means she made wicks for the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, Rashi was afraid of the Haredi police. Okay, you found something in the end, right? What?
They just found this week. They just said they found. They have to. They're debating now if they have to evacuate a whole town in Switzerland. That they have to evacuate the whole city for at least 10 years. Because they found underground, they knew about it a long time ago, but 360 tons of explosives and munitions buried under the ground in this town. And they don't know what to do. They said right after the war, 9 people from the city were killed from unexploded bombs. But now they found, they said they don't understand if Switzerland was neutral.
Yeah, where did those bombs come from?
Where did all these explosives, how did they get there? So obviously Switzerland was
on the fence.
On the fence with Germany, Germany buried 360 tons of explosives and munitions underground in the city. Wow. And now they have to evacuate the whole town. They don't know, they haven't decided what they're gonna do about it.
Okay, life is about loyalty. Learn this, the older you get, the more you learn about this. There are always gonna be issues that flare up. And you have to make a decision. Are you loyal to the cause? Are you gonna betray? You're gonna stay on the sidelines.
Right.
That's what it all comes down to, more often than not.
Ben was beaten all over the place. Yaakov said to him, at the end it says,
right, Reuven is a case study.
It's
very good.
He always had good intentions but never carried anything out. That's what Gemara talks about.
He's a good case study for a psychologist. Good morning. Reuven is a case study for the world of psychology. To understand what's going on. In any event, in the Malbim, he is triggering this topic of discussion. He's saying over here, Yizkar Adirav Ninveh, the king of Ninveh is relying upon an ally, but yet Yikashlo Bahalicha, he was betrayed. The ally flip-flopped. He switched to the other side, and he's calling that, it's interesting, the Nusra, that's called to stumble. That's called, it's not good for the person, not good. When a person betrays an ally, you have stumbled. Okay, once you make a commitment, and you don't, that's painful. You know, this whole thing, I talked to Rav Meir about this at length, about Gaza, Sharon, the whole expulsion. Okay, it's a super, super complex, obviously it's long over now. It was such a super complex matter. And there were two things in my mind that really, my little teeny mind, that bother me, the complexity of the matter. Mitzadech, my mother, Aleha Hashem, and a very, very good friend, a very close friend, who lived in the Lower East Side, and she later made Aliyah, and my mother was always speaking to her, and she said, when they spoke about the expulsion, she said she can't wait for it to happen. Why? Because she has a son who's in the IDF. They were Israelis in the IDF, and his patrol is in Gaza.
Right.
And she says to my mother, I literally cannot sleep. Every night I cannot sleep.
Right.
I'm so worried about my son. He's there, he's on patrol. I know that he does very dangerous things. And for her, for them to leave Gaza, she's an Israeli. She's originally in the Lower East Side, my mother, and she made Aliyah with her husband. She got married there, she was an Israeli, she had children, and her son is in the IDF. She's not a person. Because of the pachad of her child is, for who? We're in America, we should go tell them. She suffers daily because of the pachad of her child going every day into Gaza and doing things there with the people there, you know, to try to keep them calm, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mitzad Sheni, the government told the people, take possession of the land, occupy, I mean, take possession, live there, and we're going to protect you. Establish yourself in the land, build houses, plant vineyards, make shuls, in order to protect Klal Yisrael, and we're here for you. We're going to help you. We're here for you. And then for the government to betray these 8,000 people, so how do you balance that? The betrayal is really off the charts. It really is off the charts. Mitzad Sheni, am I there going there? Am I picking up a pinky to go there and put my life in danger every single moment to go on patrol in Gaza? And every single moment, every single soldier is in the crosshairs of a terrorist. And every mother, every parent who has children there, and this goes on and on and on for years and years. And of course, you'll have all of the politicians that will tell you it's not so dangerous and this and that. The bottom line is, my mother had a friend, and she's mom's crying her head off, and she's the pach out of her life. She can't sleep. So how do you balance, at least in my teeny little mind, obviously it's much more complex than I can ever begin to imagine, but at least in my mind, these two things really bother me very much. Betrayal is a terrible thing. There's nothing worse than betrayal. The government made a decision to take over this territory and to tell the Klal Yisrael, settle there, live there, and we're here for you. We're not going to just abandon you. To betray them? There's no greater sin than that. Mitzad Sheni, how could you allow parents to lose a night, a kid who can't live with themselves, with the pachad that their children are in sakonis nefashos every single moment of time? It's very complicated. We live in a very complex world. Here, we describe, we focus on the principle of betrayal and loyalty. Not from a Jewish perspective, and it's all the same. You know, this is a human condition. The concept of betrayal and loyalty is not a religious principle. This is a human principle, a human condition.
The term, Bahali Chosam, couldn't that be reflective on the beginning of the pasuk and say, Bahali Chosam, in their ways, to say, talking about the fifth column, which is the Giborim, who are not actually Giborim, but they're like, they turn against the Melech. And then, you don't have to separate. It seems like it's one thought. You're separating it by making one the soldiers of Nineveh, and then you're talking about the allies.
You have to study the words according to each one of the commentators. Right, Everyone has a different focus. The Radak, in his approach, learns that we're describing here the Giborim, who are not part of the nation of Ashur. They are mercenaries, or they are hired hand. They're an ally who now are betraying the king of Ash. Let's go further.
Netanyahu is expecting two people to betray the left and come to him.
The politics is so dirty, it's not real.
You see,
this system does not work. The system. I think now we're coming to realize they should have adopted the American system of a president and a senate. And they had a big dilemma when they established the state of Israel. It came very close. They almost copied the United. There's the presidential system, like the United States of America, and then there's the parliamentary system, the European system. And there was a debate when they made the Constitution. What? Whatever, when they established, read the history, there was a debate. What kind of system of government? I think now we're coming to realize it would have been better in Eretz Yisrael to have...
The parliamentary system forces compromise, because you need a coalition, you need a compromise.
Parliamentary system is too much democracy. Too much democracy. It's impossible. You can't function.
You have to give in to deals.
You can't function. You cannot. The United States, you see a Milo where, even though the rivalry, the political rivalry is not real, what goes on, you see what goes on in America, but at least relative to Eretz Yisrael, you can decide at least who the leader is. Okay? Look, I mean. They're going to go into a fourth election now.
Oh, nobody won?
Who knows?
Again?
Okay. Not.
By the way, they haven't finished counting yet, so everybody...
Okay. It doesn't seem like anything has changed. All right, let's go weiter. It's not about politics. Let's go weiter. We're not about politics here. Let's go weiter. It's not Sunday morning, 9:30, we have politics. Sunday morning, let's go weiter. Choymosa, next words in the Radak. Okay, the Radak, the Malbum here says... Okay. Oz Yimar Chaymoske, the second to list on the Malbo. Oz Yimar Chaymoske, Oz Niskeruch, Bechaymoske, Irlihi, so gave me ni tsar. They will seek refuge in the wall of the city to Lihi, so gave to seek shelter mini from the enemy. Vuchan Hasechech, Shechinu es Hanivtsar, they prepared the fortress. Sheyisrichech, to shelter them, Ba'adam, to shelter on behalf of them, Min, Hoyev. It's exactly what the Mesudas and the Rashi said. Next, Zion, Shari Hanaharos Niftochu, Achakach, Ovar Hanahar Chidekel. Which river are we describing? Chidekel, Es Chukoi, Viniftechu, Sharo, Veheitzif, Es Soir. So he's saying here something historical fact is there was a flood. Shari Hanaharos Niftochu, the Chidekel flooded. That was part of the story, the historical account of what happened. There was a flood. The river of Chidekel overflowed. It must have rained very a lot that year. And the Heitzif Esoir v'oz heichol namog, which on the lemar hamelech v'chol b'nei heicholoi, namogu mipachad, he learned psychologically, ki mechashvav amrlo, the magicians, whatever these stargazers, whatever they are, they said to him, "She'es yotzif hanohar esoir yimoser biyad oyev." When there's a flood is a divine sign that the enemy will prevail. So over here, look what's happening over here. The flood is not what killed them. He's saying over here an historical account. Sardan Apal was the king. These people, they're all very superstitious. And they believed in all these crazy things. And Sardanapal was trying to protect himself, was trying to wage a war against Nebuchadnezzar, at least to protect himself. And here his ally betrayed him. He then went and would seek refuge in their fortified cities. And it seems that Alderech HaTeva, they were secure. They were able to live it out, to go on for a long time before Nebuchadnezzar would be able to conquer them. But then they had these astrologers or magicians or sorcerers that told them that if there will be a flood, that will be a sign that Nebuchadnezzar will easily defeat you. And then lo and behold, next year or in a short time, there was a flood. Now the flood didn't destroy the city. It wasn't a tsunami, everyone was dead. It was a flood, so big deal, there was a flood. It happens every so often, in the basement, you get some water. Okay, so you call the plumber. You go and you spend a lot of money and you buy a new carpet and you redo your basement and you declare bankruptcy and so on and so forth. But the world goes on. No, because the astrologers and the magicians told them that if there will be a flood, this is a sign.
The omen
that you're doomed. And then there was a flood. Look at that. There was a flood. They melted. Their minds melted. And that triggered their defeat. When a person behaves irrationally and you're in a state of machad, the enemy got a sense that the people are terrified, they're weak in their mind. That gave the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, the resolve to attack and destroy. This is an historical fact. According to the Malbim, we're not just making a Baba Meis here. This is an historical fact, exactly what happened. And he's telling them this either in advance. And we know from hindsight that's exactly what happened. He's reading, Nachum is predicting this will happen. What exactly Nachum's words mean at that time, they do not necessarily know what it means. But we have the advantage of hindsight, 2020, hindsight is 2020, and we know in the history books, barrel wine will tell you what it says. Okay, in the history books, it will tell you what it's happened. We can now look back and see how it happened. Next, Pasuk Ches Namal Vuhu Tzav Golosoho Alosov V'Oz Huchan Miduras Eish Lisroif Es HaMalka V'Es Pi Lakshav. Now here's something very different than than everyone else. He says historically it was a fire. Okay, there was a fire. There was a meduras esh. Lishrev es hamalka v'yeskol pilaksha v'gulasa haynu hamalka ho'ala al hamoiket. New translation word ho'alasa. She ascended. She ascended the pyre. She was burnt. She was killed. Better she be burnt to a crisp than let Nebuchadnezzar get a hold of her. Okay, Hitler, Yimach Shmo v'zichro, and his wife that he married the very last moment. What was her name? Braun. Eva Braun. Eva Braun. So they commit suicide and they burnt their bodies. Supposedly, they burnt their bodies. So that's so. Where did he learn that from? That's what it says over here. That's exactly what. That's exactly what Asher did. He took his wife and he ho'alasa. Better than let the enemy get a hold of her. They shi'alasa al hamoiked mechusa betzav that was covered with tzav. Now this eglas tzav, this is a very, very important malbim. We know that the Nesi'im in Parshas Nosoi donated sheish eglas tzav. What in the world is an eglas tzav? Sadi beis. So here we got it. Here it says over here, it says, v'chutzav golosah ho'al, v'chutzav the queen, golosah. Golosah means, how do you translate golosah? Look on the side of the Ber Hamilos. He has, we'll actually read in a few moments. We'll read because it's very important in the title here. But it says here, let's finish up, it says in the bottom of the year, alamoiked mechuse betzav, the moiked, the pyre, was covered with tzav. What is tzav? Shukisei, the kisei is a throne, mechuseh, covered, shaboy noisim es asarim, the wagons were covered. The wagons in the ancient times were like flatbed trucks.
Like the covered wagons.
No, flatbed truck is not covered. A flatbed truck is a truck. They put a car. You ever see them tow cars? They put the cars on the truck. A flatbed truck. That was the standard in the day. No one had tractor trailers, 18 wheelers, because 18 wheelers is a chokhmah. It's everything. You don't know what's inside. You don't know what's inside a tractor trailer. There can be drugs in there. There can be weapons of mass destruction in a tractor trailer. That's why. Why do you think the police are stopping every van on the Brooklyn Bridge? What do you got in there, boy? What do you got in the car, in the van, Sonny boy? Open up the van. Let's see what we got in here. Truck goes on the highway. They pull over all the trucks. What do you got in the truck? If they're driving flatbed trucks, no one's pulling them over because we can see what you got on the truck. We see you got a car. You have big pipes. You have lumber. You have, I don't know, whatever you got. We can see what you got. But when you have a vehicle that is completely covered, you don't know what you got inside. So in ancient times, they didn't bother covering the merchandise or the cargo. Flatbed trucks. Along came the Nesi'im, or Mechadesh, an incredible insight. Mechadesh, it's not Bakovedik. It's not Lefi Kavoidoi Shel Mokoim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that his Mishkan, his bias, when it travels in the desert, should be exposed. It should be covered. It's holy. Something that's holy should be concealed. You don't go. It's not for public knowledge. So they invented the tractor trailer. Okay, they have the copyright. They invented a vehicle that is covered on all four sides. Hatsnea leches, literally, conceal your way. Hatsnea leches, your journey. In the lokecha. What? Turtle. So it has a shell. This was the invention of the Nesi'im. This was their invention. And if a state trooper would pull over the Agolos traveling on the highway in the Midbar, they would say, none of your business what's inside. None of your business what's inside of this. That's not going to bother you. Eglas Tzof. And the Medrash says, there's the two of the Medrash. We only know one half of the Medrash, but the Medrash says that when Yaakov Avinu, when Yosef, when he told his brothers, go back to dad and tell dad, Oy, Yosef Chai, V'chihu Moshe B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. And Yosef knew that Yaakov is not going to believe it after 22 years, impossible. Take these wagons. And what are the wagons? The last sugya they were learning was what? So everyone knows only half of the Rashi. Half the Rashi, they were learning the Egla Arufa. But the better pshat. What does the Egla Arufa have to do with the wagon? It's a very difficult pshat. Send wagons. Vayaris wagolois. Vatichi ruach Yaakov aviyem. He's look, think about it. He saw the wagon. Okay, very nice. Very nice. What was the last sugi they learned together? An egel is a baby calf, a little egel that you decapitate when you find a dead body in between two cities and you don't know where he came from. What in the world does an egel arufa have to do with a limousine? Yosef sends a beautiful limousine. He sends the beast. He sends President Trump's beast. Okay, nice car, cost only who knows how many millions of dollars of taxpayer money for many of them. You have six of them, if I'm not mistaken. They have six beasts in his fleet. So he sends the beast. What in the world does an egg, was a wagon have to do with an egla arufa?
Eagle.
Oh, so phonetic, they're same letters. Egg, agola, agola, ayin gimel lamed, egel, ayin gimel lamed, ah. Okay, very good. I'm not the Chazal, Kodesh Kodashim. But there's another Chazal that's much easier to understand.
He wasn't murdered.
The last thing they learned was that there is dignity in traveling in a covering, in a vehicle that is concealed, and the day will come when the Mishkan will be transported in the desert. And there will be wagons donated, the Eglas Tzov. That was the last sugi they learned together. The principle of traveling with wagons that are, it was a unique concept. Not nice. Flatbed trucks, but to have tractor trailers to actually cover you, the Eglas Tzov. That's a turtle, right? That's one of the shorts. It comes from that, as I said, it comes from the shop. So this is what he saw. Oh, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov, because he actually saw the Egla Sof. They were learning about the covered wagons, and he sent him a covered wagon, not just Ayin Gimel Lamed. He actually saw it. So here he's telling us that the Hutzav, Eglas, an incredible insight. The Malbim, where do you get something like this? The Malbim says, this is the queen. Why is she called the queen? Why is Vehutzav called the queen? So we learned until now, almost everyone on the page, Rashi, the Mitzudos, and even the first Shah and the Radak, you know why she's called the queen? Lashon of Vehashegel Nitzeves Liyaminoi. The Shegel, which some of Farshim do not learn that as a nice time, they learn the Shegel means a dog. It means a dog, right? A dog, and this refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he lived with a dog. So did Hitler, you know. Hitler Yimach Shmo v'Zichro. Okay, Hitler Yimach Shmo also lived with a dog. Yeah, go on, Google it. I'm not making this up. He also lived with a dog. Really? Hitler lived with a dog. He had a dog, a wife also. He had Eva Braun and he had a dog. Two wives. I'm not making this up. It's hard to leave, right? You don't believe this. They want to humanize evil. They don't want to talk about that. He lived, what's it called in English? Bestiality?
Bestiality.
Okay, he lived with a dog.
He learned from Bill.
Okay, so the Hashegal Nitzeves Liyaminoi. So we translate it, and what's one shot, but the other interpretation means the queen. Oh, the queen, the Shegal, the queen Nitzeves stands. She's situated, she's positioned. Oh, it says Nitzeves. Nitzeves has the letters of Tzadi Beis, and it says Hutzav, so that's enough for most of the commentators to understand that's a code word for the queen. The Malbim says something incredibly fascinating. A queen, she sat in a canopy, a certain type of throne that was covered. Miloshen Eglas Tzav, a covered canopy. It was unique in that it was covered on top. Tznius. And therefore, Vehutzav, which the main letters, Tzadi Beis. Okay, the Tzav Liminehu, the turtle, which has a shell, and the Eglas Tzav, a wagon that's covered. That's why it means the queen, not because of the word Nitzeves. Because that you're really missing another letter. You're missing the word the nun. The nun has mysteriously disappeared. I know you'll tell me very very sophisticated worlds of grammar that the hey the nun can drop out. I know there are all these very sophisticated rules, but you don't need to come on to that. A much more satisfying proof that this refers to the queen. Look what he writes here. It's incredible. This thing.
But you take it positively or negatively, right?
What?
So,
the shega.
Some of these are
each his own. Each and Echanami. Yes. Let's just finish up this thing over here. It's over here. Also, it's Nochemos of Vigulsa Hainu Hamalka Ho Allah Al Hamoikate, Anna Moikate, Mechuse Bitsov, Shehu Kise, Mechuse, Sheboinois Mesasa. Remember the word Kise, it means a throne. Galui Vidulufne Kise Vedechov. The word Kise, we call the Beis HaKise. I always tell you this. The word Kise in Tanakh, I challenge you, study, show me in Tanakh. A word, the reference, the word kisei, that's not always associated with malchus. The word for a chair in biblical Hebrew is a moshav. A moshav. The word kisei, a regular person sits on a moshav. A mishkov or a moshav. A regular, only a king sits on a kisei. Eliyahu Kohen, he was the Kohen Gadol in Hanami. Kisei means a throne. Does not mean a chair for the average person. There is no way in the world that we call a Beis HaKisei Al Shem the toilet. Impossible,
so
beyond impossible.
Throne room.
Right.
No, you would not joke around like that. You would not joke around like that. There's no way in the world, no way Chazal would be loose with their tongues. Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, this is not a modern term. In Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Gemara. The Gemara, Chazal, the Beis HaKisei, Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole law of Shulchan Aruch. It's called, take from the Gemara, Chazal, Beis HaKisei. There is no way in the world that Chazal would refer to a toilet as a kisei. No way. And the whole world, yes, 99.99% of the population, why is the Beis HaKisei called the Beis HaKisei? They will tell you because there is a kisei, a very expensive kisei. In Home Depot, the cheapest one costs $200. And they go up, you know, high class, you can buy probably for $10,000. Okay? From $200, I don't think you can buy it, say, less than $200. Okay, a base. Okay, and then they have very high class, the Totos, or the, what do they call these? All these brand names, big business. I actually saw an advertisement, I actually saw this 2 days ago. I'll tell you, the guy showed, he put golf balls into the toilet, he flushed it down and went down, no problem. Okay, golf balls, that this toilet will never get stuffed, And illustrated, is no way in the world you can call. Why is it called Beis HaKisei, Rabbi Isai? Why then is that chamber called Beis HaKisei? It is the makom. It is a makom through which you have an opportunity to make a bracha, in which you mention the Kisei HaKavod, Galui V'Yodua Lifnei Kisei Chivodecha. That's the only pshat. That is the only pshat. There is no way in the world you can say that the Beis HaKisei is the Beis HaKisei because it's a rabbinic term. It comes out of page of the Gemara. This goes back 2,000 years, this term. There's no way the holy rabbis would ever dare call the chair upon which you sit down upon, call it a kisei. Where in Tanakh, the word kisei is exclusively used in reference to authority and malchus. And especially the Malchus of Hashem. The Megillah is coming up. V'amelech yoshev al kisei malchusoy. And half the time Chazal said that when it says the word HaMelech, without the word Melech Achashverosh, it refers to the Melech Malchei HaMlochim. So there is no way. It is the Mokoyim in which you have an opportunity to make this bracha and say, Golui v'yodua lifnei kisei chivodecha. And what's so shocking is since this has to be the pshat, and yet we're so, yet, you go ask, I'm telling you, it's 99 out of 100 people, you'll ask them, they'll tell you the reason why it's called the Beis HaKiseh is because the toilet is a kiseh, and that's clearly wrong. It makes you begin to wonder, what else are we doing wrong? Because we have a tradition, Hanach lohem li Yisrael. Im einam neviim, b'nei neviim. Even though we do things mindlessly, there's a makar. There's definitely a source for doing what we're doing. This l'chore cannot be. Cannot be. Cannot be. You cannot say on this, hanach lohem. And if this is such a shocking wake-up call, who knows what other nonsense, some other things that we may be doing, and you know, we have to really figure out where our heads are. The MS, yeah.
I want to go to the Bitui Sheigal.
Okay.
It says in the Tochacha, the Hanashim Tishagalna.
Oh, okay.
That means right. A negative thing.
I don't know if it means negative. It's not necessarily negative.
Vashti, Vashti, come. We don't even have a party here.
It's not a holy expression. It's not a negative. It's an act. Shegal means a three-letter word. Not going to say it here. Okay? Shegal. So the Hashegal, she was an object of taiva.
Right.
Object of taiva.
That's right.
So we don't. So in the Chumash, we'll never ever say that word, because tznius hatznei lechas, which means you should never say that word. That three-letter word by Bnei Torah, it never comes out of their mouth.
What? His wife is probably
a zona.
Like Vashti, come beketer malchut.
No clothing.
Yeah.
It was an object of znus. Object of znus. That's why. Okay, that's why we refer to the queen. That's the makar. You think there's the makar for the word of queen shagal comes from the word shegel, which means we know what it means. And it's interesting that in Chumash, when that word appears, we do not say that word. That is a very strong, direct musr for us to be careful in society. This word is no big deal. Today, a lot of people say it. I even say it a lot. Today, when I was a child, I never, ever heard the word. Talk about abuse, okay? Sexual abuse. I never heard that word growing up in Yeshiva Ketana and Masift. Never. Today, even in the right-wing circles, because of all the problems, it's said openly. Even by Haredim, not everyone, but it's said openly. It definitely said, because unfortunately the world has changed quite a bit and the dangers of what goes on. And so instead of talking in Ramazim, talk to the point. What are you talking about? Make it clear. You're talking about sexual abuse. We're not talking about a Rebbe slapping a kid across the face. We want to know exactly. We got to go talk to the point. But the word, we have to have at least some degree of sensitivity. And when it's not absolutely necessary to be explicit, then go back, this was not a word that was ever said in a yeshiva. In public schools, they say it outright, obviously. They say a lot worse than that outright. But look at Chazal. Chazal would not let those words come out of their mouth. It says in the Chumash, when you read it in the Torah, you change the word. And you're saying something very important that the queen is called. Okay, last question, we're going to stop, yes?
What is the difference between kes and kiseh?
Same thing. Kes just choser. Ki yod al kes ko. Hashem's throne is deficient because of Amalek. We leave out the aleph. Ki yod al kes ko.
Kes is incomplete.
Yeah. What?
The yud kev of kes is incomplete.
Ko, yud kev, both are choser. Hashem's name is choser. It's missing the vav hey and the kiseh. So what are the letters who? Hey, what are the combinations for Purim? Ki yod amole, ki yod al keis ka. Ka is yud ke. We're missing the vav hey.
Yeah.
And what else are we missing? We're missing the aleph of keis, the kisei.
Keis is a
throne.
Keis
means a throne, but the letter aleph is missing. So which letters are missing in total? Hey, vav, aleph, which spells who? Who? And the word who, v'hoya bayom ha-hu, yiyah Hashem echad u'shmo echad. The who is what is lacking. As long as there is an Amalek, we don't have the who. when the Hu will be restored, then the case of Hashem will be restored to the Kisei, and the Yudke will be restored to Yudke Vavke. Okay, we'll stop here, we'll take a very short break. Today we're going to do over, I have handouts for today. Today,
and
Moshe Rabbeinu.
All right, that's not important.
Okay, Rabbi, so I have your handouts. I have here three handouts. Today we're going to spend an hour. I want to read over a Targum, part of Targum Sheni,
on the Megillah. Right. I went through it a few times.
Heavy stuff.